Welcome to the Gonzo Chronicles. This is Cyrus Alderwood. Thanks everybody for tuning back in to another episode of the Gonzo Chronicles. So here we talk about the weird, the unusual, the fun, what anything we can think of, music, pop culture, movies, television, paranormal, blandly dull, normal, whatever we feel like talking about, we talk about here. So thanks for joining in. Yeah, we appreciate you stopping by here. If you haven't had a chance, click on that subscribe button if you're listening to us on iTunes. If not, if you're listening to us on Podbean, make sure you click on save right there, make sure you bookmark us. Come back and listen to what we have to say from time to time. We're going to have some pretty interesting shows coming up. I've been teasing a couple of guests that haven't had on yet, and that's all my fault of scheduling. I've been out of town some too, and then, of course, catching other people bad times. But we're going to have some interesting shows coming up fairly soon. I think we're going to get a couple in maybe next week. Don't hold your breath, but hold your breath. We'll be doing it. So you guys know me. I'm 20-some episodes in. You guys know I'm a bit of a nerd by now. If you don't, well, you know, get used to it. I'm a history buff. And I've been doing a lot of reading lately on local history, just things I never knew before. This pandemic, I've tried to use some of the time to, you know, learn some new things, do some new things that normally I would have done. But, you know, I've always been a big history buff, and I always thought I was educated about things in history. So lately, as I've been driving along just wherever I'm at, if I see those historical road markers, yes, I've turned into that guy. I pull over and I read them. And then I get curious, and then I look this stuff up on the internet. I found out so much that happened in here in my little region lately about the Revolutionary, actually the wars leading up to the Revolutionary War. And that's something I'm going to get into later on another podcast for a foundation, a nonprofit that I run. It's a regional nonprofit. But if you're curious about that, you can look up what's called Lord Dunmore's War or Lord Dunmore's Folly, one way or the other. I'm a big paranormal guy, too. I've always been kind of curious about the paranormal, ghosts, and you know, various hauntings, UFO sightings, alien abductions, crop circles, you name it, anything paranormal. And one thing fascinating in my region is the Mothman, the whole mystery of the Mothman that took place in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. I had no idea that that town was known also for another historical battle called the Battle of Point Pleasant that was unofficially the first battle in the Revolutionary War here in America. Had no idea. How do I not know this? This is my backyard. I was never taught this shit in school. Kind of pisses me off that I wasn't, now that I think about it. Not blaming my teachers, per se, just kind of blaming the system. But I've got this book here. I read from this book from time to time. It's called Stupid History, A Collection of Stupidity, Strangeness, and Misconceptions Through the Ages by Leland Gregory. And I've stumbled upon this when I was reading earlier, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to bring this up, just kind of start the show off. The first president, the first real American president is the title of this. The first president to be born a citizen of the United States was number 8, Martin Van Buren. He was born on December 5th, 1782, 6 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Because all previous presidents had been born before the American Revolution, they were actually British subjects. So, how about that? If you have to be born in America to be a president, explain the first 7. You know, because they were not American, they were actually British subjects. Anyway, I thought that was quite interesting. Another piece of history, don't take my word for it, but look it up. And I think I've got the number right. Even after, you know, during the, before the Constitution was passed, did you know that we had 6 presidents before George Washington? No shit. No shit. I didn't read that from Blue Balls magazine either. Go look it up. Kind of fascinating. You think that'd be something they taught us in our history class growing up, but we didn't get that either. So what do you know? Any kind of weird history you guys are reading or something you're fascinated in, drop me an email, cyrus.alderwood@gmail.com, and I'll read it on the show. So I got a few emails in through social media and through my email about
a place I'd mentioned before called St. Albans. It's St. Albans Sanatorium in Radford, Virginia. It's a notoriously haunted location. It's been on all kinds of TV shows, Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, Dead Files, and a host of others. But I'm going to get to that. So we're going to talk a little bit about, speaking of history, why some places, it always fascinates me what makes some place haunted. It's not just something random. It's some twisted, macabre, painful history that happened around a place that maybe sparks that energy. I don't know. I'll leave that up to actual professionals that do the ghost hunting to tell me. But before we get into St. Albans, which I kind of have a tie to that, but I want to kind of just bring up a couple things on Netflix. I don't know if you guys, like during the pandemic, I've been binge watching a lot of stuff too. So I had some shows I was binge watching that actually turned out to be really good so far. I don't know if you guys like cop shows, but this is kind of like Northern Exposure meets CSI. It's a show on Netflix called Longmire. It used to be on A&E, and the A&E network, that was their number one show. But they canceled it because I guess the network decided they were going to go all reality television because it's a lot cheaper. So after they dropped Longmire, their number one show, actually it was a very popular show on any cable, Netflix picked it up. Thank God they picked it up. Man, I love that show. So they picked it up, and they ran with the ball. They actually made it a better show than A&E did once you got into like season 3, 4, and 5. So anyway, I'm watching that again. I've seen the whole season. I've seen all, I think, 6 seasons. I think there's 6. But anyway, I've seen all of them. I'm watching them again. Great show. Great acting. Just really interesting stuff with a lot of, you know, Native American content in it too. So anyway, just kind of fascinated by the show. Outer Banks. I started watching that because it was always been kind of, I just kind of love the ocean. I love that part of the country. The East Coast, some of those towns up and down near Wilmington. And I don't think Outer Banks was actually filmed in Outer Banks. Somebody told me where it was actually filmed at, and I was kind of surprised. Anyway, it's still a good show. I'm about 7 or 8 episodes in a 10-episode season 1. And I don't know if they'll have another season or not, but it's a pretty good show. Umbrella Academy. I've had that on my watch list for God knows how long. And I started one episode and then kind of had a hard time getting through it. It's kind of weird. Just not really, I don't know, for whatever reason, that didn't click with me. A friend of mine, actually, after watching the whole season, said, man, you got to give that a try. Go past episode 1. Do it again. So I went back and watched it. I've been binge watching that now. So they're going to have a season 2. But I don't want to give that away. But that's a really fun series on Netflix. So I've got probably about 15, 20 different things saved on my watch list. I'm sure I'm going to be getting to them soon. I just finished watching Dr. Sleep that I recorded off of probably HBO. I DVR'd that. I remember seeing that in the movies. But wow, how weird is that in connection with the whole QAnon theory? if you're not aware of that, I did an episode on Q. My first episode here on the Gonzo Chronicles. Jump back and listen to that. You know, some brutal language, I'm going to give you a heads up, but, that's kind of, I've had so many people relate certain movies to the whole QAnon theory online, which is fascinating stuff. If you're not on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter. I follow a lot of those folks. It's really interesting. Man, we live in some interesting times. That's all I'm going to say. So jump down that rabbit hole if you want to. But that's what I'm kind of watching on Netflix right now. A couple episodes we're going to have coming up. We're going to have top 20 books we think everybody should read. I'm going to have, I think Elizabeth Cooper is going to come back on and do that episode. Heidi Gadd's going to be back as well. I've been having people ask me when Heidi was coming back on the show. So she's going to be coming back on soon. We're going to be talking about possibility of UFO disclosure. So we're going to get into like some weird stuff. Like we're going to deep dive in the UFO topic coming up. And the folks from Virginia Paranormal are going to be coming on. I've teased that episode before, but they've been to the St. Albans location I'm going to talk about tonight. And I do want to talk with them about it, but they have so many other things that they work on, so I don't want to just pigeonhole them down into that. But that scheduling's on me. That's my fault. They've already agreed to be on the show. I just got to get back with them and set a date, I suppose. But I want to talk about St. Albans. And while you're listening, pull up another window on your phone or on your computer and type in St. Albans Sanatorium, Radford, Virginia. This place is really a creepy place. Like I said, it's been on all kinds of ghost hunting shows. And for whatever reason, this place always fascinated me. After I finished my undergrad studies, I went to Radford University to do some graduate work study in international economics. So while I was there, I had a great time. I'm not going to BS you. I partied a lot at Radford. I did well in my classes, but I had more fun outside of class than I ever did inside of class. And some good memories and good times there. But right across the river from where I went to college was St. Albans Sanatorium. And you could see it up on the hill. And it was just, it's like driving through a small town and seeing that haunted house up on the hill, you know, kind of like Salem's Lot. And you see that house up there and just kind of gives you the creeps when you go by it. That was St. Albans to me. And I really didn't know a whole lot about it except people said, yeah, the place is haunted. No kidding. You look at the place, it looks like it's haunted as hell. But I never bothered to go up there and go through it. I wasn't about to. And plus, I thought it was private property at the time. Now they have it open, and you can actually go in and do ghost hunting tours, book it for certain parties. They have Halloween haunt fests there, things like that. And if you're professional ghost hunters and have TV shows, you can go in there on the location and film from there. But I always wondered, like, why is it so haunted? You see the things that people talk about when they do their investigations, and they have those electronic voice phenomenon they call EVPs, where they record and then they'll ask a question and you won't hear it, but when you play it back later you hear it on the audio. So they've caught all kinds of voices talking to them, things moving, rocking chairs rocking on their own. So it's, you know, just creepy feelings in general going through there. St. Albans had a history, though. This building, as beautiful as this old building was, it's one of the oldest structures in the area, and it was built in 1892. I looked this information up a while back, but I went back today and I was reading a little bit more on it because I previously, in a book I wrote called Dark Places, I had a short story in there. It's a collection of short stories, and one of them is actually called St. Albans, and I kind of had this mindset, like, what if I went on a ghost hunting tour or went in there looking for ghosts when I was in college and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I kind of made it weird. It doesn't have an ending, you'd think. But nonetheless, I was curious about the history. So in 1892, it opened up as St. Albans Lutheran Boys School. And at the time, it was a very prestigious, but really, really demanding. And that was what it was notorious for. But quickly after the thing opened, bullying became the norm. Bullying was horrible at the school. And nobody really said anything about it because no one really cared at the time. But it was so bad that bullying, that it's believed that more than one suicide happened because of bullying. Now, today when we hear that, I mean, it's a horrible thing. It makes all your local news. Back then, no one gave a shit. I mean, it was just demanding, and the guy who ran it was demanding as hell. And he was also, he enforced the competitive spirit so much that these kids just became obsessed with it, really, really unhealthily obsessed with it. And actually, they suspect that there were some murders. Like, kids would kill another one if they had close competition with something, no matter what it was. It could have been schoolwork. It could have been play outside of, you know, some sport that they played outside of class. So, I mean, just a very, very toxic environment that's completely unhealthy for anybody, much less young men. All right, so much had happened there. The school got notorious for these things, and parents complained, the locals complained. The school closes in 1911. How it lasted that long, I don't know, but it didn't close down until 1911. And it sat vacant for about five more years after that, when a guy by the name of Dr. J.C. King bought the property. He opened it up as a home for the mentally disabled. Now, I say mentally disabled, it became a sanatorium at that point. Let's not mince words here when I say mentally disabled. There were, like, the people that were dropped off there were absolutely insane. These are people that were completely uncontrollable, insane, violent, just sometimes twisted, evil. Some thought they had dropped off people that were had, I don't know, demon possession. I mean, back then they didn't really know how to, qualify what mental illness you had. So a lot of people thought it was, you know, you could have been schizophrenic, but they would have thought you would have been possessed. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's so anyway, they had a lot of really disturbed and violent people there. Although the hospital was thought it was to be more advanced and kind of cutting edge in its techniques in dealing with people, it was really inhumane and really brutal. So that's part of the backdrop of how that place became what it is today. And some of the things that they were doing there was really horrible. They would do experimental procedures, the things that were never done, surgeries, unnecessary surgeries, things like that. Insulin coma therapy was something that they would do. And when people would pop out of these insulin comas, their whole psyche was just disturbed. Hydroshock therapy, waterboarding, I mean, anything and everything that they could do to try to deal with these insane people. And then people that were just normally mentally disabled that, you know, that weren't insane or violent, these people were experimented on terribly. It caused a significant number of fatalities and suicides. The exact number I could not find, but I did find that many had said it was significant. But despite all this, St. Albans was thriving all those years. It finally became a fully recognized hospital in the 1960s. I couldn't pin down what year, but during that decade, it became a fully recognized hospital. However, it eventually closed down. When people in the late 70s and early 80s realized what was going on there, and that was when a lot of these hospitals were exposed for the brutality and torture that they were putting these people through. And to this day, you can still find people who are patients there. They're much older now, but still have horrible memories about what they were put through at St. Albans. Now, what I read in local papers a while back, and I don't have the articles with me, but I did remember reading, and again, do your own digging on this, and don't necessarily take my word for anything, but a local hospital, I want to say, was it Humana, or another hospital group, bought the property, and we're going to open it up as an outpatient center back in the early 2000s. Well, they did, and during the renovations, they didn't get much renovation done, but as they started to do the renovations, the workers there stopped working, like, immediately, before they really got much of anything done. Because they were hearing voices, they were upset. I guess, you know, when you go in tearing things up or changing things, they stirred up spirits. And these people, these workers, claimed that this place was haunted as hell. They were not going back in, they were not going to work in there, no matter how much you paid them. So the guy who was actually contracted to do the work couldn't get anybody else to go in there. And eventually the hospital said, screw it, we'll sell it, we'll get rid of it, we're not going to open it up. And a guy actually who the property owners now, and I don't have their names written down, but the property owners now, I think, are the ones who went in and bought St. Albans and decided to leave it alone. And they were going to do some minor things there, but they were going to open it up for tours. You know, they're making a profit off of it. They're opening it up for ghost hunting tours, Halloween parties, haunted house type of things. They have workers that will come in there during Halloween season to do a haunted house and like a scare fest kind of thing. And like I said, you've seen popular shows like Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, and The Dead Files actually go in, do investigations, and it's been on national television. But, you know, even after all these years, and like I said, this is one of the oldest buildings in the area, it left behind, that building actually still, if you go to it today, as remnants of, like, times gone by, you know, the twisted, cruel past of this place. Actually, when you go up on the top floor, there's a rooftop garden, and they used to just have it as that, but they actually had to start putting mesh on top and on the sides to keep patients from jumping to try to commit suicide. So they were trying to do that. And then there's also a bathroom that ghost hunters have often referred to as a suicide bathroom. They said they know of at least four people who went in there in this one particular bathroom to commit suicide. Now, why that particular room seems to call to people is another story. That was something I speculated about in my short story I wrote in dark places. But nonetheless, history is so important in all regards. And that's, you know, I've kind of, over the last few months during this pandemic, as I've like learned more and read more and started to look at my own local history here, it's so fascinating how much history has an impact on today. And even today, in all these haunted locations that we hear about, whether it's St. Albans Sanatorium in Radford, or just down the road in Withville, there's a place called General Graham's Mansion, and it's a haunted location as well that was used during the Civil War. I remember seeing the Ghost Hunters show that was on Sci-Fi. They had an episode from there. So, yeah, history is fascinating, folks. So what kind of local places? I know if you're listening to this, you have something local that's like a local haunted location that is notorious for that or suspected of that. So do some digging on your local history. Shoot me an email. I'm totally fascinated. What's haunted? What's considered haunted in your local area? Could be a bridge. It could be a building. It could be a house. It could be a railroad track crossing. It's crazy how, you know, the past can come back to haunt us, so to speak. But anyway, I was fascinated by that. We'll be getting into that topic a little bit with Virginia Paranormal when I have them on the show, because they have been there. They've investigated it, and they've done all kinds of other investigations. So I'm going to give them wide berth to talk about whatever the hell they want to talk about. So hopefully I'll have that show booked soon, and we can get that one recorded. And as always, follow me on Facebook, Cyrus Alderwood. You can also find the Gonzo Chronicles on Facebook as well, so you can follow that Facebook page. And you can find me at CyrusAlderwood.com and over on Twitter. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Tune back in for the next episode. I look forward to hearing from you guys on social media. So thanks again. And as always, thanks to Blues Hammer for the bumper music. And you guys out there, stay safe, and I will see you on down the road. In my eyes, baby, blind now, I can't see.